Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, earlier in the week, the businessman Dennis O'Brien has reopened the debate on remote working, saying it's a malaise that has destroyed Ireland's work ethic and compromised productivity, and called it a nonsense. Does his argument have merits? Delighted to be joined by Damien McCarthy of HR Buddy and also by Chris Kane, the author of Where's My Office? Good morning to you both.
Morning, Bobby.
Chris, I might start with you. In terms of work from home, it tends to be very polarized in either you're for or against it. What are your own thoughts around it being as black and white as that?
Oh, there's no such thing as a simple answer. And, there are no right or wrong answers to all of this. And Mr. O'Brien's comments have surely sparked quite a debate. Even our Taoiseach had an opportunity to comment upon it in the Dáil this week. But we're looking at this whole issue through the wrong end of the telescope. As you rightly said, it's not a binary choice per se, because we're now living in a digital, multidimensional world where we actually need to have a new set of references or terms for how we do office work, and that's an important aspect as well. This only relates to people who do white collar work, and you know the terms hybrid and distributed have started to become more commonplace, because the pre-world or the pre-COVID world of office work has been swept away, and there's no going back despite anyone's efforts. That's the issue.
Let me just give my own thoughts on this, Aaron. I came from a business where, you know, the physicality of actually being there was hugely important. If you're in retail, you're in hospitality, you're in construction, they're all jobs that you're primarily, you know, on site for. There obviously are administrative elements of that can be dealt with. So that's kind of the first point. It depends on what type of work we're talking about. Secondly, you mentioned it there, Chris, that the genie's out of the bottle. If you get a taste as an individual to working from home, even a minor one, of being allowed to work one day, 2 days a week from home, you ain't going back, regardless of what the scenario is. So I think that also has to be reflected in the debate. Now, I'm conscious I haven't brought in my second guest, Damien McCarthy from the HR Buddy. What do you think?
Well, I think the amazing thing, Bobby, about the furore and interest in Dennis O'Brien's comments is that, you know, if these comments were made in 2021, 2022, I'd say something when we were kind of in the middle of remote working, having been introduced during the pandemic and so on. I think it's amazing in 2025 that this is actually still news, and I think it's a bit worrying. I'm always against broad sweeping generalizations that are either pro or anti remote working, because they are always going to be partially wrong. Now, I would also say there is a portion of what Dennis O'Brien is saying is correct. And you know, I think it's wrong to say otherwise. I mean, I was listening to a debate during the week, and a texter texted in about home working and said that he's a home worker. He only worked for 20 minutes yesterday and then enjoyed the rest of the day out in the sunshine. So, you know, there are always going to be people who take advantage. That was an anonymous text, by the way, surprise, surprise. But there are always going to be people who take advantage and give remote working a bad name. But remote working has been fabulous for our country. We're an island nation. It has allowed employers to, bring in talent from abroad, work from anywhere. Very important as an island nation. It's been fantastic and given us an economic, edge with regards to women in the workplace, people with caring needs who may have left their careers previously. Now, through remote working and working from anywhere, they have much better opportunity inside in their careers, and that's very important from an economic point of view. So Dennis O'Brien, despite that remote working can ruin our economy, there may be partial truth in it, and I absolutely agree with that, but also there is wrong in it, and it is correct. And that's the thing about the broad sweeping statements.
So what you're saying there, Damien, and again, is that really it's harder to catch now. So there are people clearly swinging the lead here. There are people taking advantage of it. There are people, you know, walking their dog and, you know, going out shopping. And I've seen people in supermarkets on business calls. So that's, so it's probably harder to catch is more the point. But there are people who are going to abuse it, be it in a remote location or be it in the office. But it's just harder to catch. Would you agree with that, Chris?
Yes, I think. But Damien is probably better qualified in that respect. But having, you know, run large teams myself personally, there will be people who want to swing the lead, will swing it whether they're under your eyes or working remotely. And this, I think, whole debate raises the challenges of the quality of management and where we're seeing also, I think, a massive shift from the traditional 20th century view of you have to do X, Y, and Z tasks to output-based working to more of an outcomes-based working, which then supports the ability. And Ireland is a role model in terms of remote working is a misnomer, I think. The better phrase is distributed working.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think we can put different terms on it. But back to you, Damien. In terms of people swinging the lead, as we called it there, you're aware that this is pretty much commonplace. And what about the argument about younger people who don't have the social interaction that certainly people of my generation would have had around collaboration, around friendship at work, you know, intangible benefits of being with people shoulder to shoulder rather than looking at a screen from your bedroom all day long. Is that a problem that has yet to unfurl?
Well, look, there are huge positives to remote working when it's managed well. I think Chris has touched on that there. Remote working needs to be managed well, and people can swing the lead remotely. They can swing the lead inside in the office as well in front of your nose sometimes. So, you know, it's good management and communication and managing people at the end of the day. But, of course, you can pick out several things that have been damaging about remote working. But, again, it doesn't mean you're dismissing it. But your point about young people, I think, is very interesting because when COVID came along and young people, you know, going into the workforce, starting off their careers, were working from home. And they were being told that, you know, this was like winning the lottery by the older generations because maybe their parents never got the opportunity to work from home. And they were being told that this is fantastic. And you saw, you know, we saw several instances in our work of people becoming, you know, disengaged, poor communication skills, starting to perform poorly. And, you know, they're living inside in shared accommodation, working from a box room 5 days a week. And they're being told, you know, you've pretty much won the lotto. How lucky are you to be able to work from home? But is that a healthy environment from a well-being point of view? Absolutely not. So to a certain extent, over the past few years, with this evolvement, you know, which happened very quickly with regards to remote and flexible working, our attitudes are very irresponsible and, I would argue, immature and, I think, even still now, dishonest with regards to maybe some of the negative aspects of remote work. Because, obviously, workers want to hold on to the flexibility and perhaps sometimes that is done irresponsibly.
Okay.
But what I would say, I think employers are getting more confident. It obviously is a journey. It's a hard journey. It happened very quickly. It's a more complex world of work. So everyone has been learning as we've been going along. And as I said, we're in the year 2025. We're still having the debate. And if we go back here in 2027 or 2028, Bobby, the debate will probably still be there.
Okay. Last quick word to you, Chris. Is part of the problem the people that decide the policy are generally the older generation, and they're not the ones who are actually implementing it?
Absolutely. You can't put an old head on young shoulders.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, look, we'll leave it there. I'd like to thank both my guests, Damien McCarthy of the HR Buddy and Chris Kane, author of Where's My Office. Thanks for joining us this morning. Loads more to come. Stay tuned.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.